Good morning. If you will, please turn to John chapter 1. We started a study the last time I spoke on the book of John. I think I got over three verses, so it may take me a while to get there, but Lord willing, we'll make it. John chapter 1, start with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So last time when I had the opportunity to speak, we went over the first three verses. I just want to give a short review of that. The Word in verse 1 is talking about Jesus Christ. And I thought it was neat how Jesus was called the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last of the Greek alphabet. And God used Jesus to be the creator. He was also, we'll see in a second, he was an agent that God used to be the creator. I gave an example of, like, if I asked Jacob to cut off the lights, that was like Jesus, God asking Jesus to say that there was light. He was the agent that had the creation, that created everything. So he was the agent. So the Word was Jesus. Jesus is eternal. He had no beginning and no end. He has always been with the Father throughout eternity. So he wasn't created when he was born in Bethlehem. That was Jesus coming down to earth as a human, but he did not have a beginning. He's always been. Jesus is God. He is part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So he's part of the Trinity, three in one. And like I said, Jesus made everything. Jesus was the active agent that God used to create the universe and everything in it. So that's just a brief summary of what we went through with the first three verses. The verses I want to focus on for this message, I'm not probably going to get to all the verses, but there's a word that keeps coming up starting in verse 4 that I want to focus on for this message. So starting back again in verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." So as you can hear over and over again, the word that I'm focusing on this morning is light. Jesus is the light of the world. So that's where we're going to spend basically all of our time, is Jesus is the light. I just want you to imagine for a minute, and I know it's not possible, but just imagine living without the sun, S-U-N. Just imagine, which I know life couldn't exist without the Son, just like spiritual life cannot exist without the S-O-N. But just pretend that it's complete darkness, that we're just living in darkness. Now, I don't know much about this, but I remember when I was a kid one time, my dad told me to get rid of these moles in the yard. And we dug it up and we saw these moles, and at least if my memory is right, I didn't see any eyes on them. They were just crawling through the dirt with no eyes. And I think of myself and without the S-U-N, just being in the dark of how that life would be, just being in darkness. And I think about even more without the S-O-N, just being in the dark spiritually, not knowing what to do, who God was, how to get to God, why am I here? So I'm so thankful that we have the S-U-N, but more importantly, I'm so thankful for the S-O-N that gives us spiritual light. Okay, so we're going to look at Jesus as the light of the world. We just read John 1, 4 through 9. If you could skip over a few pages to John chapter 8. So we're going to look at several examples here of Jesus being the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So here we see again that Jesus is saying that he is the light. He is the light of the world. And we think about the different aspects of light. I thought about different things that light does. It helps us see. It gives us direction. Sometimes the things that we don't like to think about, we're going to get to briefly, is how I think about since I'm retired, now I'm at home doing some of the cleaning and stuff. And I think I have the house clean, and then the sunlight comes in, and I see all this dust and cobwebs and things. So it's not really as clean as I thought. So sometimes when you see the light, when the light comes into your heart, you can see some things there that you don't like seeing there. So that's what the sun can do when you compare yourself to him. I see myself how far short I am when I see the things in my life that I don't want to see there. So Jesus is the light, and the good thing here is that he is the light of life. He teaches us, he gives us direction to eternal life. That's how we know how to get to God the Father, is by his Son Jesus Christ. He is the light, he is the way, and he is the means by how we get there through his death on the cross. So we have so much to be thankful for the S-O-N, the Son of God. He is the light of the world. Then if you'll flip over a few more chapters, John chapter 12. Jesus is the light of the world. That's what we're focusing on. Jesus is the light. John 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. I was thinking about this, and I may get to this later, I might be getting ahead of myself, but we had the opportunity to go to Jerusalem, to Israel, and we had a Christian guide there, and he was telling us that only 2% of the people in Israel were Christians, that the majority were Jews and Muslims, and then there's a lot like in Tel Aviv that they may be Jew in descent, but they don't practice. They don't believe really in anything. They're agnostic. So I was just thinking about this, that Jesus 2,000 years ago was saying, believe in me while you have the light. I'm here. I'm showing you how to get there. Believe in me. But many of them refused to believe in him. Even though the miracles that he did, the light that he showed, the words that he gave to them, they refuse to believe. I think about the verse that says, today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Today is the day of salvation. So I'm thinking here, if someone's here today and they hear the light, they hear about the light, they hear about Jesus Christ, and the way to get there is through understanding that the light penetrates you and you see that you have darkness in your heart, that you have a need. First of all, you got to know, we'll get to this later, that you're blind, your heart is blind. You've got to understand that you're sin sick and that you need healing. And then you know that the solution is Jesus Christ. He was willing to come and to die, live a perfect life, die, and then be risen again because he had that perfect life. So today is the day of salvation. As Jesus was saying there, believe while you have the light. If they won't believe when they've got Jesus right there in front of them, it's going to be that much harder when Jesus is taken away and they're just in the dark. He's not there among them. So he was encouraging them to believe. Some did believe, but many did not believe. And then just a few verses forward, John 12:44, Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in whom he sent, in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." So we see here, I've heard a lot of my non-believing friends or friends that say they're believers, and they say, well, it doesn't matter what you believe about Jesus, as long as you believe in God, the Father. He has a lot of Jewish friends, a lot of Muslim friends, so he has a difficulty with that. And I'm not trying to sweep that under the rug. But my comment to him was, if that's the case, why would God have sent his son? I know how much I love my son and my daughter, but if there were other ways to get there, I wouldn't send my son to pay the price for somebody if he could. So my belief is the only way to God the Father, and what I believe the Bible teaches, is through his son. If you want to know the Father, you have to know the Son. You have to respect. You have to kiss the Son, or you will not get to see the Father. So he has come as light into the world. He who sees me sees whom sent me. So we know God the Father sent him. If you see Jesus, you see the Father. If you see the Father, you see the Son. They're together in the Trinity. I come as light in the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So just thinking again about darkness. One time we went down into this cave, I think it was in Missouri, and they had these lights shining through. And all of a sudden they said, okay, everybody cut off your lights on your phone. They cut off their big light, and it was just pitch dark. And I was in a place that I've never been before. There's no way I could have found my way out. I was lost. I was in the darkness. And that's the same way spiritually that all of us are without Jesus Christ. We do not know how to get to heaven. There is no way to get to heaven without Jesus. He is the light. He's the one that shows the way. And then some verses, Isaiah 9:1, you don't have to turn to it. "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." And just remembering, I got to see the village of Nazareth, which was just a small village where Jesus grew up. And just thinking about that little dot on the earth, how privileged they were for Jesus to come and live and do some of his miracles in and around that place, that they were able to see that a great light came to them. And then that light has spread out. That flight was long coming back, I will tell you that. It was about 3.5 hours to Germany, and then from Germany back to Charlotte was 10 hours, and it felt like about 20 hours. And I had to get up several times. I was getting claustrophobic and just had to get up and walk around. So just thinking about how I'm so thankful that Jesus showed the way there in Nazareth and in Israel, and so thankful for all the lights that were willing to share that. My mom being here was a great light for me to spread that light over to my heart. So just so thankful that we have the light of Jesus and he showed us the way. And then the conclusion of that, or that came true in Matthew 4:14, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." So it came to pass here in Matthew when Jesus came. Isaiah predicted it. This is another prediction. You can go through the Old Testament and you see it speaking so many times of Jesus in the New Testament. But a great light has come. Jesus is the light of the world. A great light came to that little town in Nazareth, in that region of Galilee. Galilee is a region, and then you have cities throughout Galilee. Okay, if you will, look at Matthew 17:1. Thinking about Jesus being the light. And there are several times where we know that Jesus came from heaven and became a human just like us. He was still God, fully God and fully human. But there were some times that he took that veil off. And we see here in Matthew 17 what that looks like. Matthew 17:1. "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John his brother, led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.' And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, 'Arise, do not be afraid.' When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only." So in verse 2, we see that Jesus took away the veil of his flesh, and they saw his face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as the light. So just thinking about, and we're going to get to a verse that shows it again, but just thinking about when he took off the veil and just let them see him as his true self, his self without the veil covering him, how he was such a bright light. And that showed them, they even though they didn't understand, they wanted to give 3 tabernacles, God told them that there was only one, that it was his son, not Moses, not Elijah, but Jesus was his son. And he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I will please, hear him." So that shows the distinction there. But today I'm focusing on him being the son. Okay, Acts 26:12. If you'll turn to that, Acts 26:12. Another example of Jesus being the light of the world, being bright as the sun. Acts 26:12. "While this thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus," this is Saul traveling to Damascus "with authority and commission from the chief priest. At midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who were sanctified by faith in me. So we know the story about Saul. We know that he was persecuting Christians. We know he was holding the coat as the one stoned Stephen. So he was against God. So what was that change? What made him change from wanting to persecute Christians to the probably the best missionary, the most famous missionary, the one that's told probably more than anybody about Jesus Christ? What was that difference? He met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. That was the difference. And we see that his face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as the light, like he was in the at the Mount of Transfiguration. His face shone like the sun. And then in down lower than that, in verse 18, to open their eyes. So why did he come? To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. We were in darkness, and now we can see the light. The power of Satan, we were under the prince of the power of the air, of darkness, Satan, and now we're translated to God if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior. So we see another example of Jesus Christ being the light of the world. Okay, and then the final example of this is in Revelation 21. And this one is special to me, just thinking about it. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So just thinking about when we get to heaven, and we've been used to seeing the S-U-N our whole life, and it's a blessing. The S-O-N created the S-U-N, so it's part of the creation. We know it's good. It's given us warmth. It's given us light. But when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any need for the S-U-N. We're going to have the S-O-N, and he's going to light everything up. So what a day that's going to be when we get to be there, and he's going to be unveiled. His flesh is going to, we're going to see him as he is, and we're going to see that light shine, and he's going to light up heaven, and we're going to be there with him. What a day that will be. So the first part that I want to think about and the overarching message is Jesus is the light of the world. He is the one who created the world. He created the sun, S-U-N, but he's the Son of God, and he teaches us, and he's the way to God the Father. He is the Son. He is the light of the world. Okay, the second section that I want to look at is this one's not quite as pleasant. Light exposes sin. This week I got to go, not got to go, but I had to go to a back doctor and got an x-ray of my back. And it could have been worse, but I think it's the L5, and Dr. Ray knows a whole lot more about this. He's worked on me before. But when they did the x-ray, you're supposed to have like spaces called disc in between your vertebra, and these are like little things of jelly to give you cushion. Well, from lifting lawnmowers to change the blades, not very smart. I think that's where I first did it, and probably playing too much golf and too much pickleball or whatever it is. Y'all probably think it's more play than work, and you're probably right. But right there at L5, S1, or L5 and L4, that's supposed to be like that, is almost bone on bone. So I don't have a whole lot of cushion in between that. So I was just thinking about that. An x-ray is not really a light. It's an electromagnetic radiation, but it's similar to light. So that they're able to see inside. They can't see your muscles and tissues with an x-ray, but they can see your bones. I found out it cost a lot more money for them to see the muscles. I don't have much muscles anyway, but it'd be hard to see. The MRI costs more, so they always do the x-ray first, and they try to learn from the x-ray, and then if they can't see what they need to see, they send you to the MRI. But I was just thinking about that x-ray, being able to see inside my body, and I was just thinking about God and the Son being able to penetrate into my heart. And seeing just like that disc is degenerative, going away, how times in my heart, I have things in my heart that shouldn't be there. the sin that I see in my heart. When I get close, there was a story that I was reading talking about how Paul was saying that a wretched man that I am, how could he say that? And what it was saying is the closer we get to the light, the closer we get to Jesus, then the more sinful we see ourselves. So I'm not saying that I have been as close as I should be, but when I do get that closeness and I look into my heart and inspect that, I see how much I fall short compared to Jesus Christ. So thinking about the light exposes sin. John chapter 3, if you look at John chapter 3, verse 19. We're going to see two different things here. We can see people, when they see the light, they can be like rats, like mice, and they can scurry back to the darkness. Or some people, thankfully, if you're saved, then this is talking about you. Some people see the light, they're attracted to the light, and they go to the light. So we're going to see two different ways you can react to it. John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So this is showing here that, and he was, I think, here talking about the Pharisees, they thought they were it. They thought that they were perfect. They thought that they were the closest ones to God. They didn't want someone calling them out and seeing how they were living lives that were deceitful, taking things that weren't true in the law and adding things to it, the way they treated women, wanting to stone the woman that was caught in adultery. They didn't see the sin in their own heart. They just saw the sin in others' hearts. So what we're seeing here is that you can be like the Pharisees and run away from it and want to be in your own sin. Just think about examples of people that I've been around with, and seeing them when they see something that is light and they say, they dismiss it. Well, look at her. She's a goody-goody. I don't want to be around her. And they see the light and they want to go away from it. They're drawn away from it. They're gone. They go back to the darkness. But there are some, he who does the truth comes to the light. So those that, by the grace of God, see the light, they know that they have sinned, but they go to that light. They go to Jesus. And that's what I encourage you, if you have not gone to the light, if you've not gone to Jesus, that today will be the day where you'll not want that sin, you'll want to get rid of it, and you'll want to go to the light. And then in Ephesians 5:13 it says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So we see here that sometimes manifest means to make known. So if you make known, then sometimes there was a little, and Lisa and Jenna told me not to show it, but it was a great video for me because I'm like a little child, and if there was like these little kids up here, I would have shown it. But since they're in Sunday school, I decided not to show it. But it's a video talking about let your little light shine, and it has this little light bulb that's like marching down the road. I'm not the only one that likes it because it's got 16 million likes on it on YouTube. But anyway, it's going down and it lights up the area that it's in. You can see the light. The whole place is dark, but where it's at, it's showing little light. And then at about the middle way, instead of one little light bulb, it's got three little light bulbs. So sometimes you show that light, people are attracted to it, and they join you. And that's what the Great Commission and witnessing to others is about, is sharing that light, and then it multiplies, and that's why a lot of us are here And they say that there's probably a billion people that say they're believers. So it's multiplied. And because you share the light, you share Jesus, then some people are attracted to it and they accept him. And here's an example of this, and I've seen this maybe in people's lives, but 1 Peter 3:1 says, "Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." So this is an example of living the light. They don't even have to say anything. They just live the light every day in front of their husbands. And for the young people, I'll just preface this. Before this, it says to not be unequally yoked. What does darkness have to do with light, or what does light have to do with darkness? So the Bible instructs us to marry other believers. So that's number one. But if for whatever reason, maybe you weren't a believer or you didn't follow that, and you find yourself married to a man or vice versa, a wife that's not a believer, then you can live the light, you can live Jesus in front of them. And I'm not saying all the time, but some of the time, that light will attract them, and then they will come to Christ. So live that light in front of them. Sometimes it's better, I think, when they know the gospel, they've heard the gospel, they know it, instead of keep on telling them about it, just to live Christ in front of them, show them the love of Christ because they know the truth, and then that will, I believe, win them quicker. Okay, then in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness," now this walk in darkness is that you've never rejected your sin, that you're still walking in it. You're still practicing sin. "We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." So even though after we're saved, we're still going to have times that we sin. But praise God, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So there's two types of forgiveness, just to make sure I'm not confusing anybody. There's judicial forgiveness where God says you're forgiven. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're forgiven from that point to eternity. But after we're saved, sometimes we mess up, we say things, we do things, we think things we shouldn't, and we break the fellowship. And that parental forgiveness, we need to ask God, "God, I did this, I know that it's wrong, please forgive me, help me not to do that again." And then we can restore that fellowship. And as far as the light is concerned, I think about my own life. When I'm living close to God and when I don't have sin in my life and I'm living close to him, how that makes me more confident to be around other people, other believers. The fellowship is better when I have that closeness to God. He makes me closer to other believers. When I'm living not like I should and things like that, I don't want to be around other believers because looking at them, looking at how they're living a Christ-like life makes me feel bad. So I want to be away from them. So if you get in that, instead of doing that, ask for forgiveness. Ask God to forgive you. Get back into his word. Get close. Get recharged. I think about these batteries that can be rechargeable. And we think about the light. Sometimes maybe your light and my light is about run out of power. And the light's just kind of flickering. It's not being a very good light. We need to get in the word. We need to pray. Get charged up by being close to God in his word, close to Jesus. Get really charged up. And then go out and we can be a tremendous light to other believers, to people out in the community. We need that daily being charged up. One of the stories that meant so much to me. And when I was in Israel, it was talking about Jesus going up this mountain. We got to go up this mountain. It's right outside the Sea of Galilee. And it was talking about a story I read later. Was this mountain? I said, how in the world did Jesus, because the guy that was with us from South Africa, Dr. Francois Carr, was saying that this is the mountain that Jesus prayed for his disciples. He said the last 22 months, he did miracles and things, but his main emphasis was pouring into those 12 disciples. And he would go up, and a story that I read later is that the rabbis, the teachers, would try to find the hardest mountain they could to climb. They wouldn't just find just a little easy hill to climb and pray. They tried to find the hardest one they could, and he would go up there, and he would spend time with his Father praying for his disciples. And he was saying, one of the things that really came out to me is he said that Jesus could only do what the Father told him to do or what the Father showed him, either told him or showed him. So we know from that fact, because Jesus said that God the Father asked him to come to the top of that mountain. And that's what he did. So if God the Father asked his Son, who was God, to come up and spend that time with him, how much more should I need to spend that time with him and know what he wants me to do? So it was very convicting to me to think about that Jesus made that effort to, he was already perfect, but he was praying for his disciples. But how much I need to have that alone time with God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and be in his word. Okay, so the light exposes sin, and we have two choices. We can either run from it, stay in the darkness, like mice. I have seen mice in the day, but a lot of times they run from it. Most of the time they're out at night. Think about bats, the animals that just scurry when they see light. They go away. That's the way where you stay in your sin. Either you stay unsaved, or if you're saved, then you stay out of fellowship. So we need to come to the light. Even though when we're dealing with sin, our human nature wants to stay in that darkness, we need to break that cycle, get to the light, expose that sin, get rid of it, and be close to him. The other way is, like I was saying, is to go to that light. You can either go back to the darkness, go to the light. I encourage you to go to the light. Okay, the next part is the light shows you the way. Thinking about being in that cave, being in the dark. If any of y'all, I know a lot of the kids here go up to Mountaintop and they play in these games at night, out in the dark, out in the woods, and they do these things. And sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes there's accidents. People get hurt and things out in the dark. So we're thankful that the light shows us the way. Psalms 18:28 says, For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. So he will lighten your lamp, show you the way. He has showed us the way to himself. Psalm 119:105 said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We showed at the beginning today, the word, capital W, is Jesus Christ. So the word has shown us the way to the Father. Is through the Son. And the little W here is talking about God's Word, the Bible. It also shows us the way. Okay, so the Word, little lower W, and the capital W are words that will show and light your path and show you how to live. It not only shows you how to get to heaven, which is the most important, eternal life, but it also shows you how to live while you're here on earth. The Bible will show you how to live, and Jesus will show you how to live here and how to treat others and live for him. Mark 2:16. See if I can find 2:16 and 17. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So he was eating with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was eating with them. And the Pharisees were saying, why is he eating with them? Doesn't he know that they're sinners? So they were self-righteous. They were seeing the light, and they didn't recognize who he was. And Jesus was with the ones who knew they were sick, the ones who knew they were blind. So the thing about getting saved is you got to realize that you need saving. The thing about needing Jesus, you got to understand that you're blind, that you can't get there by yourself. So these sinners and tax collectors, they knew that they needed saving. They knew they were blind, and they recognized Jesus. The Pharisees, they were self-righteous. They didn't think they needed Jesus, so they didn't recognize him. Okay, and then our brother Steve shared this in the Lord's Supper today, John chapter 9, verse 1 through 11. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen him that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to them, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. So this man obviously knew he was blind. He was blind from birth. We learned this as well over there on our trip. I'd never heard it before, but I've read it since preparing for this. I can't prove this. This is just what they think is possible. Why did he have mud and tell him to put it at his eyes? Has anybody ever heard that? What they're saying is that our bodies were made from dust. And they're saying that this man, they said he was blind. The guy over in Israel and another guy that I read believe that he didn't have eyeballs. So since he didn't have eyeballs, he used the mud when he packed it in to make the eyeballs. So I thought that was neat, thinking about how he made us from dust and that he possibly made those eyeballs from dust. And using that mud to help the blind man see, and this is what really got me. He used that mud to help the blind man see physically. He uses us, made out of dust, to help other people see. And that really got me, that he's using me, a piece of dust, just like he used that dust to make those eyes to make the blind man see. He can use this dust to be a light and share it with other people. And it's Jesus through me can make other people see spiritually. So just an example here of the blind man can see physically because of Jesus. We see, we were spiritually blind, we can now see because of Jesus. And he can use dust, he can use mud to help us see. Okay, next, this is one, just I've got one verse here and one quote. Living in the light. I just look back at my own life when I'm looking at myself, and the time that I felt the most confident, the most on fire for the Lord, is when I was close to the light and just daily living for him each and every day, or trying to. Psalm 27:1 says, a psalm of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When you're living that close to God, and when you're just sold out for him, You don't worry about anything else. You're just living for him. Nothing scares you. And a quote from Oswald Chambers that I was reading, when you fear God, you fear nothing else. When you don't fear God, you fear everything else. So when we fear God, when we know God, who he is and his rightful place, we know that he's in charge no matter what happens. Can bad stuff happen? Yes. But we know he's in charge and we don't have to worry about it. He's in charge. We're trusting in him. But if we don't have God and we not have a proper reverence and understanding of God, then all of these circumstances, we're just everywhere worried about everything because we don't have a proper perspective of God. So put God in his right place, put Jesus in his right place, and we can just live life without worry and without fear. Okay, now this one is a challenge to me and maybe some to y'all. I was thinking before I forget this, I was thinking about individuals. I don't want to call names because I'll leave somebody out. But I was just thinking about if God would let it be where we could like see like a little light coming out of people, people that were believers and how they were being a light. And I was just thinking about people here at Reidsville Bible Chapel on what amazing light y'all are, how y'all are shining in a dark place in this world, and what wonderful examples y'all are for me, for Lisa, and especially for Jenna and Jacob. And I just want to thank you for that, for being wonderful lights for Jesus Christ that we can see. It's one thing to talk about it, but when we can see it daily, weekly, and daily, we can see y'all living different than the world lives. That makes a big difference. So I'm just so thankful for that. So this is preaching to the choir because y'all are already doing it. This is mainly to me. Sometimes I don't do it. Matthew 5:14, you are a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So when we have the light, we have Jesus Christ, we shouldn't like keep it hid. We should tell other people about him. We should show about him through our lives, the way we care about people, the way we love each other. One way it says that you know you're a believer is, do you believe the other Christians? Do you love the other Christians? That's a kind of a thermometer you can test yourself. Do you care about other people? If you don't care about other believers, then that's a question whether you're really saved or not, if you don't have love for other believers. So having that light and sharing it, not to hold it in to ourselves, but be willing to share it with others. Okay, Matthew 5. Okay, now Acts 13:44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So we see here that Paul and Barnabas were being lights. They were being lights to the Jews. What did the Jews do? Mainly, they rejected. They rejected the light. So because the Jews rejected, they started going to the Gentiles. That's, as far as I know, that's to me and you. The people that are not Jews are the Gentiles. So thank the Lord we were grafted in, we've been brought into the family of God. We know there's coming a day where the Jews are going to be brought back in, that God's not through with Israel yet. Okay, I need to finish up. 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For this it is God who has commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." He's given us Jesus. We were in the darkness. Now we need to let that light out. Ephesians 5:8, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." We should have the fruit of the Spirit. Philippians 2:14, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." It is so dark, and y'all know this as well as I do. The world is so dark. When you're a light, when you see a light, you can see it. There's a difference. When someone treats you as a believer treats you, you notice it, because there's not many that are doing it. So let your light shine. Then in closing with our scripture, 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." He has called us into his marvelous light. We're a chosen generation, chosen people. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, he wants you to go and tell other people. Okay, there's one thing I want to end with. Go back to the front, thinking about the light of the world is Jesus. This I want to try to just sum this up. If you want to read along with me, it's 287. For y'all's sake, I'm not going to sing it. "The light of the world is Jesus. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. No need for the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of that world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus." Let's pray. Our Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and caring for us. We thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We thank you for giving us him. We can't even imagine without having him, the S-O-N, to show us the way, to be the way to you. Can't even imagine a life without you coming to save us. We just thank you so much that you didn't leave us down here in the darkness, but you came down here and saved us, and you took the scales off our eyes and the blindness away, and you gave us eyes that we can see, and we thank you for that. I pray that if there be one here that has not seen that, if they've not understood that they were blind, that they were a sinner, that today will be the day they'll realize that they're blind, that they're a sinner, they need forgiving, that they'll trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. We just thank you for him, and I just pray that you help me and help all of us to let our light shine so that others can come to know your Son. His name we pray. Amen.